Well, greetings to all of you. It's our first time here, as Mr. White said. Thank you for those kind comments. Americans have to be nice to us Canadians because we're the providers by far of most of your oil and natural gas. And you don't like $4 a gallon, right? Anyway, today, on the second great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe, brethren, that for us as God's people, although we enjoy and are excited about all the holy days, this feast is by far the most exciting because of what it portrays. We've just had an election in Canada last year. We have a minority government, which won't be able to accomplish much. You're going to have one yourself shortly. And we can see that our human governments just are unable to function effectively and to solve the problems of our world. But the government of God is going to be so different because it's about God ruling through his people and family, and the government of God alone and only will be able to bring the utopian society of the millennium and on beyond that we all are looking forward to. So there is a powerful prophecy that was originally in the second Psalm, but it's in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 26 and 7, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. It goes this way: "And he that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." Then it goes on to say, "As a potter's vessel shall they be broken into pieces, the nations." Very interesting word there, because that word for rod is the word rabdos, and it means scepter. And I think you all know what scepter is. Scepter denotes righteous rulership in God's language. So I'm asking today, how do we see this iron rod rule? When I was new in the church, and it's probably true for a lot of us, if not most of us, when I came across this scripture and this prophecy, I thought, yes, when that time comes and people go in there and they start breaking God's laws, it's going to be wham! But of course, it's not that way. It's not that way. And that's what I want to explain today and talk about. It's a very important subject. It's not going to be a stern, heavy-handed rulership meting out quick and sore punishment upon every lawbreaker every time. There are actually three very important points and issues being conveyed to us in that particular verse, in that prophecy of Revelation 2. And they have eternal consequences for all of us. So my question is, just how do you rule with a rod of iron? Because we'll be doing it. So the first point I want to bring today is this, that the establishment of God's law and order rulership over the earth, that's going to take some effort. When Christ returns, the world, as we know, will be in the latter stages of what would soon be total cosmicide. The seventh trumpet sounds, then the seven last plagues follow, and mankind is united, isn't it, to make war against Jesus Christ and the saints with him and all the angels. Do you expect to be there? The Bible says that we will. And it is here that the war to end all wars, the expression we've heard so often in the past, which none of those wars did that, but this one will. The war to end all wars will ensue. Because it says in Revelation 19:19, this: "I saw a beast and the kings of the earth and all their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army." God's army. You know, in science fiction, you see incredible particle beam weapons being fired at solid rock and huge holes coming in the mountains, and they're pulverized. But here, one of the great significant parts of this war to end all wars is that a 200 million men army is vaporized. Can you imagine that in your mind? Dissolved. Part of this war phase includes the seven last plague. When you look at that, you see that we have an earthquake that's right off the Richter scale, which runs at 10, doesn't it? Maybe 20 if it were possible on the Richter scale. A worldwide earthquake that shatters all remaining cities, buries islands, and reshapes mountain chains. Those are some of the tremendous events that are going to occur as Christ and his army with him begins to assume control of this world. And finally, this big one, beaming Satan and his millions of demons out and away from any influence on mankind. Surely, brethren, this act will be one that is the capstone to end the war phase. Once this war phase is over and the nations are subdued, let's go to the second point of this prophecy. Once we see Jesus Christ ruling, we can see the real and permanent thrust of iron rod rule. What we will see first and foremost is no compromise ever with the law of God. That is a vital and ongoing part of ruling with a rod of iron. The law of God will always be abided by. When it says, the nations shall be shattered to pieces like a pot of clay. Once a pot of clay is smashed, say you drop it from the third floor onto a street and it's into 2,000 pieces, it can never, ever be a pot again. And the significance of that is that never again will human governments be allowed. The government of God will be supreme and constant. However, we see mercy with perfect justice, because God is a just God, and having much loving patience. That will be the main thrust, brethren, of the government of God, to teach in love until the message is received and understood and finally lived by. Iron rod rule. I think you're all familiar with the scripture that says, you know, when something is happening, suddenly a voice is heard behind that person, this is the way, walk you in it. That is going to be very, very effective to steer people in a nice way, to abide by God's law and way of peace. So what it is we see here is gentleness, the rod of iron, really, blended with just the right amount of firmness, but always within God's perfect law of liberty. The third and last point I want to raise to do with this prophecy and actually with this chapter is this. Because God repeats it four times when he says this, he who has an ear to hear what the scripture says to the churches, he who overcomes and keeps my works to the end. You notice that? Not just overcomers, but you have to keep that up right to the very end. To him or to her will I give power over the nations. So Revelation, the second chapter, absolutely contains the promises of great reward and tremendous responsibilities, but only to those who overcome and to those who stay true to the very end. It says in Revelation 21:7 that he that overcomes shall inherit all things, brethren, even to the parts of the universe that Jesus Christ decides upon at that time. So In conclusion, we see that after the war phase of this rod of iron prophecy, we see that ruling with a rod of iron is going to be teaching, helping, serving, ruling in the education and preparation of further billions of our fellow man for their later inheritance of the glories of the kingdom of God. The iron rod rule is indeed, brethren, the perfect government for bringing into God's great family those billions. So your responsibility and mine, all of us, young or old, right now, is to be doing God's work and see to it that we do things that God tells us right to the very end. Christ shares his kingdom and limitless glories with the overcomers who keep his works to the end, those having learned to rule with God's rod of iron that will serve, never compromising with the law of God, but will embody in their ruling great mercy and great patience and gentleness and love as God is extending to each of us right now. Now, that is a rod of iron that I think we will all enjoy ruling by.